Let's read together Acts chapter 14. In this chapter, we have the conclusion of Paul's first missionary journey. Let's begin by reading verses 1 through 7. Acts chapter 14, beginning now at verse 1. Now it happened in Iconium that they went together to the synagogue of the Jews and so spoke that a great multitude, both of the Jews and of the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brethren. Therefore they stayed there a long time, speaking boldly in the Lord, who was bearing witness to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided. Part sided with the Jews and part with the apostles. And when a violent attempt was made by both the Gentiles and the Jews with their ruler to abuse them and stone them, they became aware of it and fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and to the surrounding region. And they were preaching the gospel there. Let's begin our study of this chapter with some background notes. At the end of Acts chapter 13, we saw that Paul and Barnabas left Antioch of Pisidia and went to the city of Iconium. Iconium was about 80 miles southeast of Antioch, and both were cities of Central Asia of the Roman Empire, and would be in central Turkey today. When Paul and Barnabas came to Iconium, we see in verse 1 that once again they went to the Jewish synagogue, where they would get a hearing from both the Jews and the Gentile proselytes. Remember, a proselyte was a non-Jew who believed in the one true God of Israel and followed Judaism to one degree or another. We see from verse 1 that many Jews and Gentiles at Iconium believed. But once again, the self-righteous Jews stirred up the opposition. Verse 2, but the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brethren. Paul and Barnabas continued to witness boldly, and the Lord confirmed their testimony with miraculous signs and wonders. But when the opposition attempted to physically mistreat Paul and Barnabas and stone them, we read in verse 6 that they left Iconium and fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of the district of Lycaonia. Here, by the way, is an example of how the science of archaeology confirms the geographical accuracy of the Bible. The implication of verse 6, look at verse 6 once again. They became aware of it and fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and to the surrounding region. The implication from verse 6 is that the cities of Lystra and Derbe, which were in the district of Lycaonia, were in a different district from Iconium, from which Paul and Barnabas had fled. Critics of the Bible used to say that Luke had made an error here, because Iconium, they said, was also a city in the Lycaonia district. After all, Lystra was only 20 miles away from Iconium. But in 1910, archaeologists found a boundary marker in the 20 miles between Iconium and Lystra, which proved that Iconium and Lystra were in different Roman districts, even though they were only 20 miles apart. Once again, archaeology supports the accuracy of the Bible. Well, so much for background. Let's move now to our doctrinal teaching points for Acts chapter 14. Doctrinal point number 1, it is not wrong for believers to flee dangerous situations. It is not wrong for believers to flee dangerous situations. Verses 5 and 6 once again. And when a violent attempt was made by both the Gentiles and Jews with their rulers to abuse and stone them, they became aware of it and fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and to the surrounding region. Wait a minute. What kind of Christian courage is this? Running away just because your life is in danger? Is this acceptable Christian behavior? Answer, yes. It's called common sense. It's not a lack of courage. It is not wrong for believers to flee dangerous situations. Now, there are times when believers can't flee dangerous situations, like when Daniel was in the lion's den, or when the three were in the fiery furnace. And there will be times when God purposely leads a believer into a dangerous situation. In fact, Lystra here becomes a dangerous place. And notice how the Lord led Paul and Barnabas back to these dangerous places in verse 21. And when they had preached the gospel to that city, that is to Derbe, and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. But normally, if the Lord gives you an opportunity to get out of a dangerous situation without compromising your faith in any way, you take the opportunity and flee. Or to put it another way, if the Lord doesn't specifically tell you in some way to stay in a dangerous situation, you take the opportunity to flee. It's common sense. Many foreign missionaries have rightly fled from foreign mission fields when the situation turned dangerous. Wives and children and the safety and welfare of others are definitely factors in making decisions here, one way or the other. Remember, it is not wrong for believers to flee dangerous situations. Doctrinal point number two, it is wrong for believers to receive worship. It is wrong for believers to receive worship. Verses 8 through 20. And in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking. Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand up straight on your feet." And he leaped and walked. Now when the people saw what Paul had done, they raised their voices, saying in the Lycaonia language, "The gods have come down to us in the likeness of men." And Barnabas, they called Zeus, and Paul Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Zeus, whose temple was in front of their city, brought oxen and garlands to the gates, intending to sacrifice with the multitudes. But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard this, they tore their clothes and ran in among the multitude, crying out and saying, "Men, why are you doing these things? We also are men with the same nature as you, and preach to you that you should turn from these useless things to the living God, who made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all things that are in them, who in bygone generations allowed the nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he did not leave himself without witness, in that he did good, gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness." And with these sayings, they could scarcely restrain the multitudes from sacrificing to them. Then Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there, and having persuaded the multitudes, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. However, when the disciples gathered around him, he rose up and went into the city. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. After the amazing miracle of the healing of the lame man, Paul and Barnabas were looked on as Greek gods by the citizens of Lystra. Now, suppose you were in their sandals at this point. Would we have taken advantage of the situation? After all, we could have at least asked for a little traveling money from these willing worshipers, right? But Paul and Barnabas refused to receive their adulation and adoration in any way, because it is wrong for believers to receive worship. Verse 15. "Men, why are you doing these things? We also are men with the same nature as you, and preach to you that you should turn from these useless things to the living God, who made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all things that are in them." Notice how Paul used the evidence of God's creation to begin his witness with this multitude of Gentiles. Remember, these folks did not have the knowledge of the Old Testament scriptures as the Jews did. So Paul and Barnabas started with the common ground of God's creation and provision for mankind. You know, this is a good example for us as we witness to people who have no knowledge of the content of Scripture. We can always start with the witness of creation. Verse 7 indicates that they did move on from the evidence of creation to the gospel. And we know that some believed, because the rest of the chapter indicates that there were now disciples at Lystra. Once again, we see in verse 19 that the self-righteous Jews from Antioch and Iconium dogged the steps of Paul and Barnabas and persuaded the fickle crowd to change their minds and persecute these men who were not gods. You know, it reminds us of the crowds on Palm Sunday who so quickly changed their minds about Jesus. Here in Acts chapter 14, they stoned the apostle Paul and left him for dead outside the city, but God raised him up. Now, whether Paul actually died or not, is hard to say. But many Christians believe that Paul was referring to this incident in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 when he wrote about his experiences. I'm reading 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 2 through 4. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know, or whether out of the body I do not know, God knows. Such a one was caught up to the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows how he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. 2 Corinthians 12, verses 2 through 4. Just think, Paul and Barnabas could have avoided all of this trouble if they had just received the worship that was first offered them. But they didn't, because it is wrong for believers to receive worship. Practical application. Don't forget to follow up. Don't forget to follow up. Verses 21 through 23. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, we must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. So when they had appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. Paul and Barnabas did not practice hit-and-run evangelism. They retraced their steps in order to strengthen and encourage the new believers. And they made sure that there were churches established with elders for the continued growth and spiritual well-being of the new believers. And we know that Paul revisited these churches on his second and third missionary journeys. Paul did not forget to follow up new believers. Let me ask you, do you know any new believers? Are they being followed up? Are they established in good Bible teaching churches? Follow up of new believers is a must. Don't forget to follow up. Practical application number two. Don't forget to report back. Don't forget to report back. Verses 24 through 28. And after they had passed through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. Now when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. From there they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work which they had completed. Now when they had come and gathered the church together, they reported all that God had done with them, and that he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. So they stayed there a long time with the disciples. Remember, Paul and Barnabas had started their missionary travels from Antioch of Syria. Now they returned to the home church and reported all that God had done, and they shared with them the fruit of the ministry. This continued to be the practice of the Apostle Paul, and is thus a biblical practice that should be followed today. All servants of the Lord should have a home base for purposes of accountability, as well as support and fellowship. So if you're involved in any kind of ministry, don't just do your own thing as an independent. Make sure you have a home base, and don't forget to report back.